dark. We're live. Why am I so dark? Joe and Mike, buildassetsonline.com, here with Sean. Now, Sean and Mike and me by proxy, there were some land deals closed. And that's what we're going to talk about on this podcast. And we have a very special announcement. Comes something very special you'll be getting, but we'll talk about that towards the middle and the end.
Cool. So yeah, what's going on, Sean? Welcome to the podcast.
What's up? What's up? Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm doing great. Living the life.
Dude, that's much better.
There we go.
Now you're really, you look like you're an angelic.
I'm like an angel. I'm like an angel. I'm dead.
You know, and before we get started on the show, while people pile in, on that note, Sean said that you should make your bed before we started the stream. And I noticed this on the last stream too, is that you had the bed like this. And I wanted to say to people should not get it twisted. What you're seeing here in Joe's picture is the equivalent of seeing the guy in the Lamborghini. Absolutely. This is Joe's Lamborghini right here. It's 3 p.m. on a Thursday. Joe is in this room. The bed's not made. Things are a mess. And he's at home and he's taking it ease.
You know what's funny, Mike? My wife was telling me how the podcast we did with Spencer Cornelia came up again on her YouTube feed. And so she watched it. And a lot of the comments, like, there's not that many new ones, but some of the new ones are saying, like, I don't trust these guys. Like, look at their houses. They look broke.
Yeah, that's exactly my point, right? So people will see you in squalor with the ripped shirt and, you know, the bed not made, and they're going to think, oh, what does this guy know? He's not successful. But people don't realize this is what success looks like.
Listen, don't get me started. You think I want to make money and then go dress up like a gosh darn monkey? That's what people who – that's what the wage cucks do.
That's the Jerry Seinfeld effect. Jerry Seinfeld is known for, like, just being, like, dressing down, driving a – I mean, nowadays he drives fucking all types of cars, but he used to be like millionaire guy wearing like dungarees and a t-shirt.
I think dungarees are even a step too far. Why would I even, if I'm financially independent, why would I go the extra mile to put on something that's slightly uncomfortable? Like, why do you wear clothes to work that you don't want to wear?
Why don't you just wear like a cloak all the time? You just like wear a robe 24/7.
I've done in the robe. I'm not super into robes. I like
just
t-shirts.
What's your ideal? Like, what's your ideal peak comfort? Like,
I like a loose t-shirt, some shorts, and some pajama pants if possible.
Right on.
So that was my point. That's what people don't get. People think success is you're wearing a suit, you're in the Lamborghini, whatever. But that could all be fabricated. No one who was ever trying to fake being successful would ever come at it the way you're coming at it, which shows.
Well, yeah, that goes to something else. Another memory I have actually. So we were at my wife's friend. We went to some sort of ski house. My wife's friend's family was very wealthy. This was not many years ago, before any of this. We went to this like super super fancy ski house. And I don't know how much money they have, but it's quite a lot. And they were going out to dinner, and the dad, who I think was the breadwinner, he was going in sweatpants. And I think the comment, he was like, I could wear whatever I want. Exactly.
Exactly. So I guess
that reminds me of,
I could do a whole episode about this. You obviously got me fired.
I think we should, because that would be a good episode. But right now we're talking about land flipping, Joe. And we got Sean here, who is land flipping. He's a part of our land flip bootcamp program. But so, Sean, why don't you give people background as to who you are?
I think I'm why the you first are, and, member.
Yeah, what's going on?
Am I the first land flip bootcamp member ever?
Basically, you're a bit of my guinea pig for the land flipping program,
right?
Because for full transparency, we know you. You're Raz's brother.
Right.
And yeah, so I guess why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself and how this all came to be?
Well, so I guess Raz, who was on the podcast earlier this, or I guess in the last month, we're just two brothers that started, I guess, attempted drop shipping in 2016. That kind of like fizzled out and didn't really work out. But then he picked it back up in 2018. I still stayed at my wage job. And end of 2019, I guess he kind of did that, started doing that solo. End of 2019, he told me to, you know, kind of, you know, leave my job and we're going to get back into the dropship thing. But right at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, when I was transitioning into working from home as a business partner more directly instead of passively with Raz, is when you came to me with, you know, the land flipping idea. And it was beginning of 2020 when it all kind of began. You know, I was home all the time. It was a really easy transition into COVID because I just was already home all the time. So it didn't really like affect my life that much. We started, you know, learning about land flipping and everything. And you kind of, you were steps and steps ahead and kind of making the mistakes for me. In a way, as you do with, you know, that's kind of the basis of your courses and everything. You're kind of trailblazing and making the mistakes and saying like, oh, like, don't do this, do this. Like, I tried it this way, this way, this way. You guys are big on A-B comparisons, trying a lot of things out. So 2020, I kind of, I didn't really take the land thing too seriously. I kind of just was kind of just taking out of savings and just like living, you know, doing the land stuff passively, not really, you know, generating too much income. It was 2021 when I really started to send mail out and get deals and kind of get more inspired about it and kind of see that it's like viable and like, you know, you can really make a living there. And that's what I do now. It's the only thing I do really now is just do land flipping pretty modestly.
Yeah, so you came from like a background of, you know, you've done a lot of jobs, I'd say. More than most people I know, you've had a lot of jobs. You've done like different catering and you're working on, I don't know, like what are some of the things you've done?
I have done landscaping, food service, bartending. I was making trains in LA for LA Metro. I was making trains in New Jersey for New Jersey Transit. Those are probably my longest and most like significant jobs career wise is making the trains.
Yeah.
That was the last job I was doing before this.
You're not really coming from a background of like, this is your first foray into making money online.
I've never touched a spreadsheet a day in my life before this. And now I like live in spreadsheets.
Yeah. So by the way, guys, if you're in the chat, come say what's up. We got Matt saying, yo, he's excited. He wants you to wear the Alex Ramosi jean shorts. But anyway, so it's pretty astounding to me that's like some of the results we're going to get into. And, you know, the thumbnail here is only regarding the deals that you and I have done, because I've funded a couple of your deals. But you've done plenty of other deals otherwise, and we'll get into that. But, like, I want to compare some of the results you've gotten to like the typical results when you first try making money online in any other way. Because I mean, to make 50K profit, obviously we split that because we funded the deals, but like to be able to go out and do that without having any online business experience, I think is pretty astounding. Like it took us a lot of time to just learn making money online and doing things with, whether it was like Joe was doing the Amazon, we were doing Kindle and then drop shipping. It took a lot of time and energy to get to that level of profit. And I feel like you've gotten there quite quickly compared to other business models.
Yeah. You actually made me realize today, for the first time, you know, I was Skype messaging you and I was saying like, you know, I can't believe actually how much money I've made and didn't realize. I'm kind of just like, I don't know. I feel like coming from like being a wage worker my whole life, I kind of just, I'm pretty easily satisfied. You know, like I make a couple land sales and, you know, I get to, you know, pay my rent and go out and, you know, buy things and not really like stress about it. But I'm not like one to, I guess, you know, I leave a lot on the table, you know, and I don't realize, but I'm, you know, I really enjoy it. The freedom to me really is what's been priceless. Like, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like, you're not, I don't know how much time you spend, you know, like on spreadsheets or at the computer doing this type of stuff. But yeah, I mean, we were looking at like some of the amount of mail that you've sent out over the last couple of years. What are you doing, Joe? You're muted.
No, I was just checking out those backgrounds. I wanted to see how it would do it without a green screen because I'm like so outlined.
Maybe if you put in a nice, put a Lamborghini in the background, people will take it seriously.
No. It has to be a McLaren.
Oh, sorry.
McLaren, entrepreneur yeah. Number one is McLaren.
Yeah, we got to rent one. That's the thing. You rent it for 3 hours.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, one of the things that's been pretty cool about the way that you've approached the land investing, Sean, is number one, the majority of your deals you've done by finance or deal funding.
Right.
So, right. You know, like we have we talk about this in the land flipping course, but like long story short, when you have a land deal, like you're going to buy a property for $10,000, you're going to sell it for $20,000-$30,000. There's a host of people that exist, you know, online and inside the course and wherever that will purchase this deal for you. And since you found the deal, you guys split the money. So they put in the money, you have the deal, and boom, you make it work. So it's like a lot of people see like some of the deals that we talk about, you know, we buy something for $30,000, we sell it for 60 or whatever. And they say, oh, I don't have $30,000. Well,
yeah,
plenty of people that do. Like when we started this, I would have never put $30,000 on a deal because I didn't have that confidence level yet. Or I didn't even really have the bankroll to put, I wasn't confident enough in the land investing to spend $30,000 on a deal. Cause I didn't know if it would pan out or what. So yeah, you've done a lot of land deal funding.
Yeah, a lot of deal funding and zero risk really to me. You know, I really, I guess the only thing that's on the line is like my reputation. You know, it's like a social contract. You want to do well. You want to get high returns to have repeat investors. You know, people that I'm not friends with personally, like me and you, that have funded my deals. I've gone back and then funded again because I got the results. But that used to be the I remember when you broke me out of that mindset early on, I was like paralyzed by the whole like these numbers are insane. Like I know like I scoff at, you know, a couple thousand, maybe $10,000 now, because in the grand scheme of things, it's like these are kind of the numbers have gotten so much smaller in my head. But in the beginning, you know, before all this, I never had more than maybe $8,000 in my bank account at once. It's like, it's difficult to like kind of to, you have to like make these numbers smaller in your head to deal with them because, and you've told me this, it doesn't matter if it's a $1,000 deal or a $50,000 deal. It takes about the same amount of paperwork at the end of the day. You know, the fees are a little higher. Maybe, you know, you might have to get a little bit more like testing or surveys done for the buyers. But at the end of the day, it's all, you know, it's all has to be done, you know, with a settlement and like with an escrow, or that's how I always do it. You know, it's all the same amount of paperwork. And ever since realizing that, you know, I'm kind of using other people's money, it doesn't stunt my mailers as much. I used to not even send mailers. You know, I used to just keep them between 5 and 10,000, you know, for the total price of the offer. Cause I'm like, I can handle that, you know, but then once I started branching out and seeing like, oh, like if maybe this investor doesn't want to spend, you know, $20,000, but I can find someone to give me $20,000 with a promise of 40,000 in return. And then, you know, with my track record, basically.
Yeah, no, that's totally true, because if you work with someone that funds deals and you guys do well together, you sell a property quick, or, you know, you get a good return on it, that deal funder is going to be chomping at the bit to fund more of your deals. Right. And that's kind of how it's been for me too. Like, a lot of the deal funders that I use when I go for that are people that I have, like, I feel better going to someone that, you know, I've already done deals with, and we have a good history together, versus there's been some people that, like, we funded deals together and maybe it didn't really make that much money. I'm more hesitant to go to them because I feel weird that, like, I kind of didn't perform the first time, but you're right. It is no risk. And that's how I approached it in the beginning too. And it's like, that's how we slowly built up our, you know, our land side of things to where it is now is through deal funding, because you can, if you offer something up to be funded by someone else, they basically are able to corroborate the deal for you. So you're leveraging their expertise. And yeah, it's like, there's, you spent the money on the mailer, but if something goes wrong with the property, I mean, God forbid, but if something goes wrong, it's not your money. So it is very important. Right. But before we get into some of the properties, because we're going to look at the three properties we did together, we're going to show some pictures. Some of them are pretty interesting. Yeah. What would you say, like, have some of your struggles have been land investing? Like, do you feel like it's mostly mindset? Because I think that's a big part of it, and I want to talk about that. Or do you feel like...
Yeah, I'm the guy. Like, I have no shortage of, like, a list of struggles that I've dealt with, like, in land investing. It's great. It's all, like literally every problem I have is mentality. It's, you know, I don't know. It's the biggest problem I think I've had with it is it not being, like, a formulaic kind of, like, input equals output. It's not really like that. It's not like if I throw $5,000 at mailers, I'm going to get $25,000 in return. Like, and it's very, like, nuanced, which I realized, and I think you've said this before, the pricing the mailers is a lot more like an art than it is like a science. It's not just one in and one out. It's like you have to feel it out. It's something you have to, like, get a feel for, like, over time. I've sent out even as recently as, like, maybe 8 months ago, I sent out a big mailer that was a dud because I messed up in my calculations. But, you know, it happens. You move on, and I've made a lot more money than I've put in, more than 10 times more the amount of money that I put in to this. And I was just talking about numbers. Yeah. More than 10 times the amount of profit. And it's really has been no risk. Like I said, I just put up the money for the mailers, you know, and, you know, but as far as struggles, it's all with the mindset. Once I got past the hurdle of, you know, this is someone, you can use someone else's money. You don't have to, like, think, like, where am I going to get $5,000 by the end of the month because, like, I got this really good deal, and, like, just have someone else fund it, get more capital going to, like, get more deals. I do fund some of my own deals, but 95% of them have been funded.
It's interesting how you phrase that. I never heard anyone phrase it that way. Your biggest struggle with this is that it's not A goes in and then B comes out, or however you said it. And I really, really feel like people are really searching for that, and it doesn't exist. And people will...
If it existed, everyone would do it.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, a lot of salespeople, people who sell internet marketing products, not us, of course, will take advantage of that that desire. Because that desire for certainty.
Dude, trust me. I wanted that to exist, like, more than anything in the world. I wanted that to exist, but go ahead.
No, I could tell how thirsty people are for that, because people will buy our course and then some of them will ask us, so if I put in 10 hours this week and then 5 hours next week, and I do this, this, and this, how much do you think I can make by next month? Yeah. And, you know,
I mean, imagine if you had a greenhouse business in 2019. Nobody would have ever foreseen that every single restaurant was going to have a greenhouse or multiple outside of it. You know, like these things aren't like you can't
sell them those things.
What's up?
I said, yeah, if you're selling those little greenhouse kits that people would put in their
businesses. Whatever, like who knew? Like, or even like with recessions or whatever buzzwords people want to use, everything fluctuates all the time, demand and supply. But, you know, as far as the land goes, like it's like, I think there's always supply and always demand for it. So far, knock on wood, hopefully, you know, that'll never change. It hasn't changed yet in, you know, the past, I guess, almost 3 years now that I have been doing this.
Well, yeah, well, I guess the thing about it is that it's just arbitrage, and that arbitrage has existed for a very, very long time and will most likely to continue to exist across multiple sectors.
The business model is like, it's hilarious, actually. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's crazy. You know, another struggle I'll say is that sometimes it's one of those struggles that I've had that are immediately canceled out. You get, I'm not sure. Oh, we were talking about voicemails before. People are leaving like flaming hot voicemails all the time. And, you know, I've had people call me and ask me, how do you sleep at night, offering people you're taking advantage of, like old people, whatever narrative people have built for themselves and why they get a piece of mail. And it's kind of crazy that a piece of mail will send someone into a deep, dark spiral. I've had people call me, see my New Jersey address and say that their ancestors fought in the Civil War and the Battle of Monmouth. And I'm serious. Like people pull out like crazy things when they call me. It's just a piece of mail. Like you could just throw it out. But I do have the converse of this. And the point of the story is that I have a lot of people that I buy land for them and they're like belly up on their house. I had one woman in Ohio. She was short on her mortgage. It was like we were going to pay her $15,000. We ended up selling for $28,000. And it was she was behind on her mortgage and her son had like trashed her second property. So she basically had to like renovate and then finish the mortgage on one and then renovate the other and had this third piece of property. And she was really thankful of it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it seems like we're buying low. And I mean, we are buying low and selling high, but, you know, some people it's like it's a breathing room that they need. You know, it's really both sides of the spectrum. I just sold land to a guy in West Virginia. And he's like, oh, this is going to be awesome. You know, he's like, I'm going to have my kids with the dirt bikes on it. And quads and stuff, you know, and that's exactly who I want to sell it to. Like, I want to like help people's dreams come true. So you have to, I don't want to sound like cheesy. That's not like why I do it. I do it to get paid, but you know, that's like the ultimate customer to me is happy on both ends. They sell and they're thrilled. They buy it and they're thrilled, you know, because
yeah. It has to be win-win.
Right, yeah, like, and especially if you buy low and sell low and then still come out, that's like peak. You did it all right. You bought for 30%, you sold for 70%, which means it went off the market. Like my last one went off the market in like 8 days and everybody won. Like it's win all around. Everybody, seller, buyer. The guy he said he was gonna buy a boat with the money when I bought his property. He said he was gonna buy a boat and he said he was gonna come up and see me. But I haven't heard from him since. He must have.
How's he gonna sail there?
Well, he's from Maryland. He said he was gonna sail up, but I haven't heard from him since. Hopefully, I mean, hopefully he bought that boat. You know, I got a bunch of.
He's in there. He's driving around in the.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing, man.
But yeah, you're right. It has to be win-win, and I think that's what people like. Kind of, they get in their head about that too. And I wouldn't put like all of the, you know, the blame on yourself, like you're bad with mindset, because I think land is actually the hardest mindset of any business. Because like with drop shipping, when you set up the store or whatever, why's my head crooked? You set up the store, you put in the Google Ads, whatever, and you start running the traffic, the traffic is like coming in at that point kind of without you doing anything. And so, you know, after you crank it up to like a certain point, your mindset doesn't matter because people are going to be coming through the door every day. And so you have to like put that to the side and you just deal with the people that are coming in. But with land, it's totally on you and overcoming like the resistance of all these things to get the people in the door, because you got to pick an area, you got to send the mail, and you got to, you know, think about the hate that's going to come. So it is very mindset heavy. And then once you like, if you don't send mail consistently, then the calls start to become less, and then the deals coming in become less, and it creates this like thing in your head that you're doing something wrong. When realistically, if you could just be a robot about it and send out 5,000 units a month, 10,000 units a month, whatever, it's like, then things become, you know, you could put aside the mindset stuff. But I go through it too with land. It's like a month where I don't have a lot of deals coming. I'm like, shit, does this really work? And then I just send out more mail, and then it just works again.
Yeah, that's literally like, that's like every other month for me. I'm like, is it over? Did it dry up? And then I'll buy another 5,000 letters, and then I'm up again. Like, I don't know.
Well, you've sent out such little mail too that it actually boggles the mind. So I don't know if you want to like get into those that number, but let's just say like I've sent out 10 times more mail than you, I'd say.
Right.
5 to 10 times more mail. So yeah, it's just like when you don't send out a lot of mail, it creates a little bit of a lack of consistency that you can attribute it, like that gets to your head. So that is not something I'd say that you're doing personally. I think that's the hardest thing about land is
your definitely is something like I go through, you know, phases where I'm like 1 month I'm like, or for a month and a half, I'm like, all right, every 2 weeks, I'm like, I send one, I'm like, 2 weeks, it's going to hit. And I'll send out another one, 2 weeks, send out another one. And then like, I don't send out another one for like a month and a half. And like you said, and I was just talking about this with someone, you're so far detached from mailers because it's such a long process. You get the numbers, you send out the mail, 2 weeks go by until it hits. And then people are calling you for weeks afterwards, maybe even months, could be years, you know. I've had someone call me from like my first mailer last month, and then you buy, and it's on the market maybe 2-3 months, and you sell and stuff. It's like this whole like, from when you send a letter to when you get paid, you're like, what even, when did I even send that, like what even mailer was that?
Yeah, so not to mention if there's like complications with title or like that's slow.
That one that the person disappeared for 6 months ended up being still to this day my like highest grossing deal.
So on that note, why don't we take a look at some of these properties that we bought together. So we don't have to get into like locations. I just wanted to put the pictures in here just for funsies. So, and we could talk about these deals, and we could talk about, you know, different issues people run into, and, you know, issues we ran into when we were doing some of these. So property number one here, this one we bought for like $22,000. And then do you remember what we sold this for?
That sold,
I believe it was like 35.
Yeah, I have 34. So,
right. Something like that. So I think we made,
yeah, well, after closing. So it was probably 35, and then I have 34 after closing. So probably 35 we sold it. I think it was actually, no, it was higher. It was 38, but there was a realtor involved.
Right. So we're, yeah. So let's get into some of these.
Like ever. I could speak about that.
Right. So that was part of the complications of this deal. So, I mean, we bought, like, without the closing costs in mind, right, we bought for 22, and then we sold for 38. So, not necessarily like a full doubling of our money, but I mean, the still 16,000 as a you know, as profit, which is nothing to sneeze at for sure. For a property that I would consider like, this was a tough one, and part of that was so we got this property in, and I told you to, or I don't know if you did this on your own, to have a realtor go look at it, right?
Yeah.
And that's where things kind of went south.
Well, we bought the property, and I don't know. I really, everything checked out on it as far as like slope and stuff. I don't know. I think the one thing I want to make a point of is that, and this might not be for everybody, but I think that if you start doing this and you start doing marketing and you really just kind of like, you're better at it than you think you are, I think is my point. And I definitely am. I realize that I'm better at it than I thought I was as far as marketing goes. I think that the realtor, like, and dealing with the realtor and the type of people that deal with the realtor are kind of soft. Like she kind of like hyped up that it was a bad piece of property or whatever because of the slope and things like that. And I don't know if she like led them into like being like, you know, oh, like, you know, I have this property, it's a little bit of a slope, but you know, it's like putting that thing in people's minds before they even take a look at it. And then they'll be like, yeah, the slope. Yeah. You know, because I've sold properties that have had worse issues. You know, this was almost 8 acres. It should have been $50,000 for the location it was in. We listed for, I think, maybe 40 or 38 because of the slope and everything. But yeah, the realtor was a nightmare. And realistically, I got my own drone photos. I had the droner take pictures on the ground themselves, and with enough like, you know, Google Earthing and you know, satellite imagery and plus drone photos, I could have done it. I didn't have to spend $4,000 for a realtor to just not really do anything. The right. The listing, this infuriates me to this day. The listing that went up on the MLS was a printed picture of the plat map from the county, and she took a picture on her phone, and you could see her shadow in the. It was just like, I couldn't believe that I had spent money on her, and I signed this agreement, a 6-month listing agreement, and I'll never do it again.
I saw that picture go on the MLS, and I was so infuriated. I thought I just got scammed. Because this is a photo of the property. You arranged to have this photo taken. Personally, if I was going to have a realtor go out to the property, I'm not going to have drone photo. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to pay for someone else to take drone footage. I'm expecting a realtor to do that.
Right, but I do drone footage a lot of times just, like, as due diligence. Like, I'll send out a droner and not buy the property sometimes. Like, it just gives me, like, a huge peace of mind to, like, actually know that there's not, like, you know, a dumpster fire happening like on the whole property, you know? So that's another thing, like as far as like cost of business, like it costs 100, maybe 125 bucks sometimes. And if you have multiple in an area, sometimes I bundle them, you know, I'll do one for 100 and try to do three for 200, you know, I'll try to be like, you know, just get one guy. And, you know, the other one we're going to show, that one was part of a bundle that I got with a drone, and it just helps with due diligence. I don't know if you remember that there was a trailer home that we were going to buy, but the seller disappeared.
That one we never were able to follow through on. So like, yeah. So with this one, the main problems were, I mean, you can see here it is a little bit sloped. I mean, it has some slope to it, which you could see. You could see that just from Google Earth. Like, you can measure slope on Google Earth, and I saw that was a potential issue. But like the price that we were getting it for, and the acreage, and you know, it's like on the two sides of the road here. So that little triangle in the beginning, probably not usable, whatever. But just the acreage that and the price compared to what everything else was selling for in the county, you could tell it wasn't something we were going to lose money on. But the realtor, you know, realtors can be your best friend or your worst enemy. And in this case, she was the worst enemy. you want a realtor that's going to go out to the property and they're going to like, they're going to be boots on the ground. It's like, seriously, like wearing boots, getting into the mud, and you know, they're going to find all crazy things in the property and they're going to know exactly what it's going to sell for.
That's the guy I have now. He's boots on the ground. That's why I like him.
Yeah. They're out strangling turkeys before you call them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And yeah, so this woman, I don't even know if she went into the property. I doubt it. If she probably would have took pictures to show that she did.
No shot. I could say terrible things, but no shot.
Right. And then on top of that, she had the audacity to charge us 10% of the sale price.
No. It was worse. It was $4,000 minimum.
Oh, right. It was over 10%. Okay, 4,000 minimum. We sold.
That's why I said I'm never going to sign an agreement. I messed up. It was the first time. This was my first time using a realtor. And I really was like kind of, it was growing pains, really. This was my first realtor and I signed with a minimum 4,000. And the new realtor I have is 8%, no minimums. You know, I'm getting better at it, but you know, yeah, this one was pretty rough. I was very angry when I realized at the end that I had signed. It was an oversight, really.
Well, it is interesting because you've done like a lot of deals without a realtor. I prefer to have a realtor. So there's different ways to skin this cat because yeah, you prefer to just do it yourself and get the drone footage, etc. I just want a guy that's going to go there who knows the area. I don't really care about the drone footage. If I'm going to market it myself, I'll get drone footage. But these days I try not to do that as much just because I'm getting lazy. I prefer to just find a good realtor and then leverage them versus, you know, doing things myself. If that makes sense. Like once you have a good realtor, you can just work in all their counties and you know, you're kind of every deal that comes in is going to be less work for you and more confidence in it because they're just going to go out to it. And
that's what I'm doing now with the guy that we're using now. I asked him what counties he works in. I said, hey, his name's James. I was like, hey James, like what county do you think moves the most 20 to 30 and up acreage? And he was like, this county. He's like, I work in these six counties, these three you can move 20 to 40 acres. I was like, you know, I'm not going crazy with the offer price, but I want to move up in larger acreages in that area because, you know, the one that we just bought, it's like low acreage, high return. So I feel like, you know, just 10x that, you know, seems pretty obvious.
And well, it's not low acre. I mean, I'd say it's 5 acres. So it's like mid range.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, five is my new two. The first year, you pointed this out to me. It's like the first year I was doing it, I was doing two to tens, and then I started doing like threes, but you pointed out to me that minimum 5 acres, someone can always do something with it. You know, you want to use it for your dirt bikes, you want to use it for recreational. You know, especially in this state that we just bought one into. And this county, it's no restrictions. So yeah. People love that. Like when people call me and they say, can I put a tiny, like number one question is, can I put a tiny home on it?
Yeah.
Number two question, can I put well and septic? You know, it's like, you know, are there any restrictions? Can I put a camper? That's actually question number two. Can I put a camper on it? So when there's no restrictions, they're, you know, figurative eyes light up, you know, I just hear it in their voice. They're like, oh yeah, like I definitely want to buy this.
Yeah. So we'll move on to the next one. This is a property.
Sleeper.
What?
This is a sleeper property.
This was a sleeper property. And yeah, this was a big deal. Like you said, it's probably one of the biggest you did. This is a beautiful property. I mean, So the property is the wooded area right in the center of the picture here. So it's just rectangular, road access, wooded, obviously. But you could see, I mean, these are pretty nice houses around it. This is a nice little area, if I do say so myself. And do you remember how many acres this was? Like 3 acres or something?
I don't. I think it was. No, I
3.32 acres.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, so this one, you talked about like how sometimes things take a while to come to fruition. We sent out this mailer, or you sent it out, and this deal came in, and this was off the bat. Like, I forget how much we bought this for. I think it was like 15, but you could see in the area the comparables were really good. And yeah, I mean, it's no slope really, road access, rectangular, good shape. So this one was kind of a no-brainer. And we ran into an issue though when we sent it over to be closed, because there was a mortgage on this property that was never, I guess, I don't know how to word this, but like when you finish a mortgage, you file something to say, hey, the mortgage has been paid off. That was never filed.
Right. And that was like late 70s, early 80s. Like they had got a mortgage, not through a bank, but they had got a mortgage through a neighbor, which I guess, you know, I didn't even know anything about that, but
well, they,
go ahead.
That's owner financing at the basic level. Like, right. Because like when we do owner financing, we do like rent to own. So we're not doing a mortgage. It's basically like if they don't pay, we can kick them off. But right. In a traditional sense, owner financing is, yeah, you're holding the note. So you're giving them a mortgage. Right. But yeah, go on.
The purchase price for that property before closing and everything was $11,400, and that is insane. Wow. Absolutely bonkers.
That is amazing. And so we ran into some extra costs with just this area. Closing is more expensive, and I guess we had to pay. So basically what happened was the woman, we asked her to like if she had any record of this or whatever, and then she went away. She like ghosted us for several months, and then she came back. Basically, we had talked to, the title company about it, and they basically said, you know, if she signs an affidavit saying that the mortgage was released, then it should be fine. So we were able to have her, you know, once she came back, we were able to have her sign that, and then we were able to close on, buy the property. And then just within a couple of weeks, I think, or less,
we had
an offer on this property. Let me see what it was here. I want to say,
I know what it was. You want to talk?
What was it?
It was 48.
Right. So Originally the spread was buy for 11, sell for 48. But so that's 37,000 profit. I don't know. That's a home run right there.
Stupid numbers.
Yeah. So after the expensive closing on the front end, and then we had some realtors and stuff. It was about buy for 15, sell for 45. So 30K profit, we split that, nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, and it's so funny because like the rest of this mailer was like a nightmare. Like these people, like everybody that it was a decent size, you know, that's another thing to speak to your point about like how my mailers are more like less shotgun and more like kind of surgical, you know, like I sent out my mailers are typically like between 2,500, you know, mailers, but I really like hone in on the numbers and stuff. But a lot of people were calling me back and they wanted to sell and they were a little too excited. And I know it's a red flag when they're too excited. They're like, yeah, we'll sell it. That means that you got a swamp. And it was a swamp. The whole county was swamp. And it's such a hard thing to know. There's so many things like that you don't really know until you I've gotten better at it, things like that. I start looking like at the overall, but you really can't cancel out a whole county for that, because this is like the prime example of like diamond in the swamp. You know, it's like 30K, no risk to me, and everything else was dirty swampland.
It's crazy because you talk about you wanted something where it could just be in equals out. You have the equation, and this is like just such a prime example of how that doesn't exist. And in fact, it's kind of the opposite, and you just need to take action and just deal with what comes your way. Because if someone was really, really smart and they knew all the calculations and they needed to do all the things to, you know, send the perfect mailer, they would have probably never sent mail here, because they would have saw, oh, you know, this is like a very wet area. There's a lot of problems that could happen here. But we didn't necessarily know that. And, you know, you send out the mail and all it takes is one property.
Yeah.
And this is $30,000 profit. This is like more than people's wages.
Yeah, that's it paid for like all my mail ever. And
right, like more. And then some. Anything to say, Joe, before we move on to the next property?
Well, I had something to say on the subject of the realtors. You know, with this county that we're working on right now, I had it in my head because I'm sick of dealing with these realtors. Why didn't we just send a droner out in this most recent foray?
Well, in the area that we were working in, I think there was not a lot of comparables.
Yeah.
And I like to have you went away, but I was telling Sean, you know, there's multiple ways to skin the cat. Like, this was the first property Sean ever sold with a realtor. For me, I like to have the realtor because it gives me more confidence to continue working in that area. I want to have a realtor that I could have a relationship with, and then I could just work in all those counties.
Right. I'm starting to adopt that too. It's kind of nice to have both. It's another thing about how it's an art. It's like the more you know, like it kind of screws you over sometimes. It's like, you know, I don't know, having both kind of, it's like, you know, instead of just getting hired to be a manager of a restaurant, like you got to start at the bottom and work your way up. So, you know, like,
what
the process is. I feel like you should list some properties on your own, do the drone footage, get your like hands dirty with the grunt work, you know, of the business, and then kind of move on to having outsourcing. Really is what you're doing with a realtor, is you're having them kind of take care of it, but you're trusting like a random to do. I don't know, I like being in control. Like the realtor thing skeeves me out, because it's like it's never worth the amount of money. Maybe if I was like, you know, if I had a new deal every day and I just couldn't deal with it, but right now I can deal with it.
Well, you said you have a good guy now in a particular area.
Yeah, and that's great. Like I like to have both, is what I'm saying. Like I am sending out mail to his locale, and I'm also working on another mailer that's going to be new territory that I don't have a person for. That's going to be just me just kind of hoofing it over there.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with price point too. Like in the beginning, when you're going after lower price point stuff, then you don't necessarily want a realtor, because it's going to eat too much into your spread there. If you're buying a property for $5,000 and you sell it for $10,000, that's amazing. But you can't really do that with a realtor, because they're going to have minimums, and it's going to eat too much into the total percentage of the deal.
Yeah.
Versus getting started, making $5,000, nothing to sneeze at for sure.
Yeah.
But when you want to start, you know, spending $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 on a deal, I'd want to have that more expert opinion. It is just about having an expert and not just someone that's going to take a picture of a plat map and put that on the MLS.
That's a thing that bothered me about that specific realtor, is that I saw on her website that she had a $50,000 house, like dilapidated house with pictures inside, outside, and everything. And it was listed for $50,000. Now I remember, listed for $50,000 property was had no nothing, had no love and care to it. And I texted her. I was like, I see that you have an exactly same, it's the same, you know, you're still going to get the same percentage of money. Why do you not care? It's like realtors, sometimes they just don't care about land. They're like some hick farmer is going to buy this property. They're not going to use the internet. I think that's what their mentality is, because like, to me, I spend a lot of time, I make videos, I make infographics, you know, I make a nice little package and I, you know, put it all together. And I feel like the realtors, when they see land, they're just like, oh, like, you know, people are going to call me. It's all old school. They're like, I'm going to send letters out to people and see who wants to buy this land or whatever. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me the way that they think about it. They just don't. It doesn't seem profitable to them. I feel like.
They want a house, and they're going to sell it. You know, they want it to be $500,000, and they're going to sell it and get 4% and do nothing, and then get a paycheck. But this was a good property for us. This one here, $30,000 profit. But why don't we take a quick?
Can I take 30 seconds?
Go take 30 seconds because I'm going to do a plug right now.
Oh, so perfect.
You want to buildassetsonline.com/land. We're doing a sale for this week. It's going to be a week-long sale. We're going to do 66% off. So I don't know what else you need at this point. We're talking about thousands and thousands of dollars profit per sale. And the price that we're giving away this course at is quite amazing. But we want people to be successful, especially if you're watching this content. A lot of people are in our, you know, dropshipping course, or they've been following us for a while. And so, you know, there's plenty of deals out there. There's plenty of fish in the sea. And this is your opportunity to get in on it. You don't need to spend your own money on deals. We'll fund your deals. We have people that do deal funding for a living. We talk about that inside the course. People, if you have a good deal, people will buy it for you. And it really reduces the risk. And this is just like, this is just crazy stuff. How, you know, Sean had no experience doing online marketing or anything, and boom, he's doing deals. He's making, you know, $10,000 profit. We made $30,000 on this one, and it's just like, I don't know. It's a pretty amazing business model if you think about it,
Jim. Yeah, Mike. Speaking of mortgages, I'm paying them off left and right.
Dave Ramsey, Joe Ramsey.
I feel like
baby steps.
It's all about that financial freedom. And back to the beginning of the podcast, if you're looking at a Lambo and you're thinking that that's what you're going to get with your money, then you're in the wrong, you're barking up the wrong tree. You have the wrong idea.
This is what you want to buy with your money. This is dirt. And then you just sell it for more money. So screw the Lambo. Joe may be forced to hire a maid at some point. So if we start seeing
That's coming. Let me tell you something about that. With the financial now, once the financial road is clear, which I mean, you know, basically, yeah. Once the financial road is clear, it's time to get rid of all the menial tasks. So whether Musk makes the robot, or I knew about that.
$20,000 for the robot that'll do your dishes.
Yeah, whether it's a robot or something else.
The robot's gonna lock you out.
I don't want to lift a finger.
Well, that's part of it too, because you start to realize your the return on your time is very significant. I could be spending my time doing another mailer, and I'm gonna make, you know, $20,000, $30,000. So why am I making the bed?
Exactly.
So anyway, if you don't want to make the bed, buildassetsonline.com/land, code BOWLAND this week, 1 week sale, do it or lose it.
You know, when I was in high school and college, there was this guy, and I think he was known for doing illicit activities in terms of the merchandise that he was selling. And, I think he was involved with a lot of females as well. But his motto is, when he's with the females, you know, he likes to get the job done as quick as possible so he can get back to making money. That was his philosophy.
Smart business philosophy.
Because he's got the phone ring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the phone's ringing. I don't know whose phone's ringing right now. Someone's got deals on the line. But anyway, it's time to look at this third property we did together. It's my favorite property, maybe of all time, that I've been a part of. So, I mean, this property, as you can see, so it's this one right here that's very overgrown, has a structure on it. This is probably the most structural property we've ever bought.
Pull up the GIS. Maybe not.
I can't do it right now. I already uploaded the presentation.
Oh, okay. So
I can't go back on it, but. Well, so this one, just for context. What are you going to say, Sean?
No, I was going to say, like, sometimes I think about, like, I want to just, like, hire a droner and just see, like, what happened to this property. Like, I'm so curious. Like, I just want to, like, send a guy out sometimes. But go ahead.
So, let me look at my spreadsheet here. This one was how many acres?
4.5
acres.
It was a 4-acre plot across the street, and then where this house is was a 0.5.
Right, so 4.5 acres next to a large body of water, which is always a good thing, like in terms of desirability. You can see these houses are built on sticks. And so I call this property the Hillbilly Hellhole because that's kind of what it was. But I've never bought a property with a structure on it before. Like I bought properties with like sheds on them or, you know, old trailers or something, but not like this. And so we didn't know what was going on with the property, but all I knew was that 4.5 acres in this location, the price that we were getting it for, I think it was something around
16.5.
And again, just the numbers speak for themselves to where 4.5 acres in this area, in this zip code, this county, it checks out that.
I was hyped.
Yeah, I was very hyped for it. We knew we weren't going to lose money. So we went ahead and we did it. So we had the property up for a little bit of time. We had the property up. And people kept asking us, like, what were they saying, Sean?
Oh, my God, man. I got so many messages on Facebook. This was one I listed myself. And this goes to show another thing I was saying before about realtors being soft. If I had a realtor on this property, they would have told me, absolutely not. No way you can sell this. Unsellable. Yeah. Like, I'm not taking clients here. I'm not going there. But wait, what was the question you had?
That's what people were saying. But part of what you were saying, the property isn't even accessible. You can't even, like,
Get into the house. Yeah, people asked me where it was, what it was, how old it was. And I really just had, like, photos from the county. No street view there, very like remote, drone photos, which I had to make out of like what they were. I had to get two different droners because not every droner is who they say they are, really.
Yeah. Sometimes droners will try and just like make a cinematic masterpiece with your property. And you're like, bro, I just need like to show me what it looks like. You know, they're like in the trees.
He didn't know his own email address. But anyway, so people wanted to know about, you know, the structure of the house. Has it been flooded? I bought it from an old gentleman that he hadn't been up there in 2.5 years. Oh, yeah, there was the boat. Yeah, he said, we bought the property. He said you could have everything on it. There was the boat, the pontoon boat, and a crane. And I don't know if you remember. I just remembered that. So when I listed it on everywhere on Facebook and like Landwatch and everything, it was like 4.5 acres riverside with pontoon boat, you know?
Yeah. So this listing was popping off. People were loving it, but
it was so, it was $50,000. They were like house, boat, crane on the river.
And
it's just one of those things, man. You just don't know sometimes. I was like, so there was no keys to the house. So we got the house, no keys. The old dude didn't supply. They weren't going to mail them. No keys. No way to figure it out. This guy, he was just done with it. I guess he had lost mobility kind of, and he was just like, look, I'm done with it. You just take it. You know, I just rather have the money. He just wants to, you know, just spend his time, you know, wherever he is, you know. Enjoy his last days, you know, with an extra $17,000 to do whatever. So this was a house that they had basically like a cabin for vacation or whatever. So it had fallen apart, had been flooded multiple times. I didn't know any of this. You know, I was just going on the back. I'm like, it's on sticks. How high could the flood have been? You know, apparently very high, which I guess you'll show some of the photos.
So, yeah. So it basically came down to this listing was very popular, but people were basically asking like, what does the inside look like? How do I get inside the property? How do I even go look at it?
I called lots. I called landscapers to go try to get in there. I called a locksmith to go to try to get in there. ended up, there was, the door was kicked in anyway. Nobody told me, you know.
Right.
But the guy that bought the property ended up.
So why don't we get into that? So you finally found someone to go and take pictures and break into our property. And the results inside were pretty astounding. So here's what it looks like once you get into the front of it here. This mattress, I've been watching a lot of Stranger Things recently. This looks like something out of Stranger Things.
That's the strangest thing.
looks like it's melting.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like how does a mattress melt?
You gotta do some messed up stuff on it.
So that's you walk in. This is like, how does it even get to this point? Because what is that in front of the door? Like all just carpet clippings?
It looks like roofing.
I think it's either roofing or carpet. Yeah, it would have been a lot better if it was on the roof because the roof was all leaked out.
Right. But
I didn't even. I barely even looked at these. I saw these photos and I was just like, I was like, me and Mike were so hyped to buy this. We're like, house, boat, 16 grand, you know. And then he sends me these pictures. And this is after like 3 weeks of me talking to people on Facebook, not knowing what I'm talking about. I'm just like, yeah, it's fine. Go take a look. They go and take a look. Like, they're like, people are calling me. They're like, I'm never going to be able to get in this. There's brush that I got quoted. I had a landscaper go down there, quoted me $6,000 to clear the brush just to get to the property. And there's one brave soul. He was down for the mission.
Yeah, this guy just broke in, got in, and
What happened was he was at the property going to go take a look, and he was like, I went inside everything. I was like, honestly, I was like, if I give you like $50 right now, can you just like go in and send me pictures? That's how this all started. The guy like. Like sold on buying it yet, but I had paid him $50.
He was like interested in the property.
Yeah, he was just gonna go like take a look at it, and I was like, he's like, oh, I tried to go in this night. He's like, the doors kicked in, and I had heard from neighbors and stuff that this was like a tweaker spot, like that there had been people.
Oh, in there, okay. You
know, junkies.
People were tweaking out in here. All right. Yeah. I mean, like, what is this even like? The ladder or just a bed frame? Good.
I guess so.
So Joe, if we
is that what my room looks like?
I was gonna say we should do a podcast from in here.
Yeah.
Gotta do drop shipping.
You know what? You know, people would tell me once your bed's not made that this is the next step. You're only a few steps away from a dilapidated house.
That's what Jordan Peterson says, right? You gotta make your gosh darn bed.
I wasn't talking about him. I was talking about, my beautiful wife.
I was gonna say, is that what your wife says to you?
I'm gonna say it even to, you know, psychologists.
I'm like, that's what they say.
You gotta make
what
your
bed. What do the mycologists say?
Yeah. There's a lot of mycology happening in here.
I didn't even notice the air mattress. Take a look at that.
There is an air mattress. So
size air mattress
box.
Damn, but that's a throwback TV.
Yeah, play a lot of games on there.
I want to hook up an N64 to that.
Definitely
a vacuum molded plastic chair everybody has in their backyard.
Yeah, so that's all the pictures I have. I mean, the walls are still intact. So I mean, basically, I figured this could be a possibility when we were buying the property, but just like the spread of the possibility of like what it could sell for, I figured someone could just burn this thing to the ground and it would be worth plenty of money still.
Right. And the,
I could have hired someone to do that, maybe.
The property was kind of like, was like the upper part of it connected to that river. Like,
right.
So that was like a big selling point too. It's like the property that you have across the street, if you put a boat there, you can actually ride it out to the river.
Yeah, so it was truly riverfront. This picture here is
tributary front,
but yeah,
kind of like there's a tributary that went
River Access.
Yeah, River Access. I don't know why I tried to like show you.
Yeah. So anyway, so the guy that broke in and took these pictures for us wound up buying this property.
Yeah.
So we bought it for 22, and then we sold it for.
Bought it for 16.
16, you say?
22 was the other one.
Bought it, yeah. Right, yeah. Bought it for 16. Total closing after closing was 17, I think, if I'm looking at the right deal. And then we sold it for 28.
So yeah, it was 17 out the door, and it was 28.
Yeah, so we got 28,000 cash, $11,000 profit. Nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
And it was quite the experience.
My heart definitely dropped when I was like, I had dropped the ball. I was like, Mike bought this property so I could flip it, and it's a nightmare. But luckily, wherever you are, the guy that broke in there and bought the property, I hope your wife approved of it, because he had to convince his wife to let him buy that. So I hope it worked out. Maybe it's the ultimate man cave, or maybe he's tweaking out in there.
Yeah,
the
ultimate tweaker cave.
Yeah.
So that was it. I mean, three deals, 50,000 in profit, nothing to sneeze at. So, you know, we saw, I think, all ends of the spectrum here. We saw just this, the hillbilly hellhole, you know, bought for 16, made 10,000 profit on it. So not a double up. This one had a realtor issue. This one, just a diamond in the swamp, as you called it. So
these are the types of things you're buying with our money.
Yeah, what you got to say? No good?
I don't know.
These are the types of things I'm buying with your money.
Yeah. Exactly. So these are just three deals, Sean, that you've done. How many deals would you say you've had total?
Not many. I'll be honest, not many. I don't have a total, but it's like under 20.
Well, that's more than three.
Yeah, more than three. Nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah. No, I just, you know, it's just I was thinking about this when I, you know, took a break a minute ago. I just was thinking, you know, I could be probably spending my time like making a lot of sales and making a lot of mailers, but like the amount of like free time that this business model has like afforded me, you can like I used to spend like, I used to do like 3 and 3. I'd do like 3 weeks of like nothing. And then I do 3 weeks of like wake up 8 a.m. until midnight, like spreadsheeting and mail mind mapping, you know? So like, that's what I used to do. So, but at those like 3 weeks I was like kind of chilling. So it kind of worked. You can do whatever you want. Like, I mean, this is me convincing myself that this is fine, because like I could probably be making a lot more money, but I'm like chilling and I'm happy. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
this is the perfect follow up to Raz the Leisureite. This is the Leisureite household.
Yeah, it's so much leisure happening in this house. Like, it's the opposite of a incubator.
Right.
Nothing is being.
But businesses are being made. There's quite a few businesses have been made in this house.
Compared to the population, you guys are acres ahead.
Right.
So, you know, don't be too down on your results. I mean, it's pretty.
I'm not down. I used to work, you know, 40 to 50 hours a week. I work way less and I make the same amount of money. That's basically what happened. Sure, I make this probably the same as I made in my last wage job, but like the amount of work I have to put in, you always remind me, because I'm like, oh, it's not enough. And you're like, Sean, you like sat at your computer a couple times and just made $10,000. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know.
People really don't understand this. And so I remember when I was my first foray into online business back in like 2013 or something, I was doing arbitrage, not land arbitrage, but selling on FBA, like retail arbitrage. And I remember going to like a lot store, which is like a clear, it was like a Buddy's Lots or something. They have like lots of stuff, lots of like stuff that didn't sell in other places.
Garden hoses, right?
No. That's what we tried to private label. But I bought like a package. There were like these rubber bands, like for kids, you make like bracelets out of them. And I got like 50 of these things because I saw that they would sell well on Amazon. And I knew I could make like $10 like per bundle or whatever. And then I went home. Actually, I went to our parents' house after because it was kind of by there. And I said, like, yeah, I'm going to make such and such amount. And my dad's like, that's nothing. And I was like, yeah, but I only spent an hour like doing it. And so people don't understand. When it comes to business and financial independence, all that matters is return on time. There's nothing else that is important. Because if you have a high return on time, you have more time to do more things, to make more money or not make more money. The time is the only variable that's limited. So I don't know. People want to have these crazy business ideas, and you know, I hear about it all the time. People want to just do something where the time that you put in is going to get you money out that's less than your job. That's it. You calculate the hourly wage of your job. Calculate the hourly wage of your job. Calculate, if I do this for an hour a week, can I make more than my hourly wage? And then that's asymmetrical bets, to use the Silicon Valley term. That's all you need.
Yeah, to speak on asymmetrical bets, I mean, you were buying silly bands to make $10 a pop. Now we're buying dirt to make $10,000 a pop plus.
But it's all the same thing.
It's all the same amount of time for you to go get the silly bands as it is for me to go to send a piece of mail out to, you know, Hank Hill out in Alabama and buy his tweaker shed.
No. But from the beginning, everything we've done, online business, arbitrage, Kindle, dropshipping, land, it's all asymmetrical bets on your time. That's all it is. That's all it is.
Yeah, and that's when you have a job, I mean, it's security, but it's not a bet. It's the opposite. It's the opposite of a bet.
Yeah.
But when you learn that there's other ways to make bets besides for going to the, you know, going to Vegas and putting it on the roulette wheel, like gambling to me is ridiculous because I'm wasting my money. I know if I come here and I do this, I'm way higher of a chance of winning.
Oh, it's like the best. I feel like it's like the best gambling. Like, it's like reverse Vegas. It's like the odds are so in your favor, and you can game the system. Like I was saying before, if you know land is selling in the area for 50,000, and you buy for 20, you could sell it for 40. Like no problem. Like do that bet.
I wish I had the degenerate gambling gene, because I probably make more money.
No, you wouldn't. I don't want to get into a whole thing here, but when you become a degenerate gambler, you're usually trying to compensate for some sort of other thing in your life, like whether it's, you know, it's a childhood trauma or something that went wrong along the way. You're trying to fill it with the instant hit that gambling could give you.
Whatever, sure. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if I was addicted to that, like, you know, you put money down and then you get that hit.
Yeah.
If I was more addicted to that, I'd probably be able to make more money. But
well, I think we have been addicted to it, but the problem is that the stakes get higher and higher. You know, that's the issue, is that it's at some point it becomes hard to get addicted to something that you've done already. Like much like the gambler, like, you know, if you hit $100 on the roulette wheel, it's not that exciting to hit 100. You want to double down and hit the 1,000. So at some point that becomes difficult.
Yeah. And this is also not as instant of a gratification, right? Like this deal here was quite the hit, but it took months and I thought it wasn't even going to happen at a certain point.
But it takes a lot of time, but it doesn't take a lot of active time.
Right. It just
takes a lot of time. There's a lot of like uncertainty with it sometimes, you know, You gotta, that's why you gotta be consistent with the mail. If you stop sending mail, if you had a lapse in sending mail, you know, 3 months ago, you're gonna feel it 3 months in the future when people aren't calling for a month span.
Yeah, you gotta be looking out for your future self today.
Yeah,
that's, in order to be successful with this business.
That's like a definite hurdle. It's you have to be thinking about the future. You can't just like, it's not instant. It's very drawn out sometimes. But if you just keep consistent, you'll be making money, you know, weekly, monthly, whatever.
Yeah, that one deal that takes 6 months doesn't make a difference when you have new deals coming in every month, and some are quick, some are not. But everything is, you know, things are happening each day or each month that make it more consistent.
Yeah. I mean, since I've seriously started doing this, I've had, you know, probably in the past, in the first year, not too many, but in the past 24 months, probably like 18 deals in 20 months. It's like a deal a month.
Nothing to sneeze at.
Nothing to sneeze at. Listen, we're well above the time here. So I think it's time we wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. We started chatting a little bit too much about different things, but I do appreciate you coming on, Sean. And for our listeners, people watching this later, we're going to do a week-long sale on the land course, 66% off.
Well, the deal ends after Sunday. That's what I put the code.
Oh, in. So you got less time.
Yeah, you got less time.
All right, you better hurry up because, listen, this is a huge discount. This is a sweetheart deal, as they say, because we want to see people win. We got Sean here. He's doing his thing. He's taking.
I know it's like a biased report, but it is like I've seen other land courses and this one definitely is. You guys are thorough and you take feedback. I've seen other people give you feedback in the Discord and you change things in the course. So it's, you know, it's, I don't know. It's good. It's a good course. I mean, I learned everything I know from you guys. So
appreciate it, man. And, you know, above all else, like, it's win-win. You know, we you learn how to do land. Maybe we fund some deals of yours. And everybody wins. So this is your chance. BuildAssetsOnline.com/land. Code BOWLAND, 66% off. Code ends Sunday, according to Joe. So thank you guys for stopping by. Sean, thank you for coming and sharing your story and talking about some of the deals with us.
Yeah, sure.
And until next time, everyone. Take it easy.
Thanks, Sean.